Well, as I said at the beginning of the service, we're in our I Am series, and we're talking about how Jesus describes himself in the Gospel of John. And while after some teaching, I think we get to understand what Jesus is talking about and saying who he is, I don't think we understand just how readily that would have been available to the people in Jesus' day, what they would have immediately thought. Because Jesus' words in the Gospel of John, when he says a couple of weeks ago, I am the bread of life, or last week Marty led us in, I am the light of the world. When Jesus says those things, the people in his day knew immediately what he was saying about himself. You see, the words of John harken back to Moses in the Old Testament when he was before God in a burning bush. You may remember that story. And Moses is asked to go back to Egypt to get the people of Israel out of slavery, and he has lots of reasons why he can't go, and his final reason is this: well, if they maybe won't believe me. If they ask me who sent me, what do I say? And God, out of the burning bush, says, I am who I am. And so from that moment on, God's identity, his name, was wrapped up in this idea of I am. And so when Jesus comes on the scene and he says to a bunch of largely, if not completely, a Jewish audience, and he uses the word, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, there's no mistake in those people's minds that he is equating himself with the character, nature, and person of who God is. He's the same God as the one who spoke out of the burning bush. So Jesus comes into their lives and into our lives, and he begins to give us a fuller picture of who this I am is. So today, we're going to talk about the powerfully beautiful phrase, I am the good shepherd. So if you turn with me, if you picked up a blue Bible on your way in, we're going to be in the Gospel of John, obviously, in chapter 10. So I'm going to be on page 870. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. And Jesus is in the midst of teaching about how he is the good shepherd. So we're going to begin, page 870, the bottom corner of that, in verse 10 of John, chapter 10. So Jesus is speaking about himself. He says this, well, he's speaking about a thief, and then he's speaking about himself. He says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I, Jesus, have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Now, this is not the verse I'm going to preach on, but just to show you that the Jews knew exactly what he was saying, verse 19 says, the Jews who heard these words were, divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? Because they understood, I am, he's equating himself to God. So this morning, we're going to talk about Jesus' I am statement of I am the good shepherd. And we're going to do it in four ways. We're going to do it talking about who we are, who he is, why we need him, and what he does. All right? These verses, combined with Psalm 23 about shepherds and not wanting, these verses in John 10 are some of the most comforting verses in all of Scripture. I have used these verses multiple times when I have visited people in the hospital, when I have met with people who are grieving. I have used these comforting words of Jesus standing up in front of people who are hurting and saying, "I am the good shepherd." But the flip side to that is what Jesus is saying about us. You see, he's calling us sheep then. And I don't know if you know anything about sheep, but they're dumb. I mean, really dumb. So you hear about it all the time. We hear in Anthem and here near the lake, we understand that somehow, some way, some donkeys got away, right? And now we have this flourishing flock of wild donkeys. In the West, we know about wild horse herds that people get, that somehow a horse got away and they began to flourish. Have you ever heard of feral cats? Somebody threw their cat out I didn't mean that. Somebody let their cat out and it found other cats, and now we have this population of feral cats. They're thriving. It happens with dogs. A dog gets loose, and finally there's packs of wild dogs around. They thrive. Have you ever, ever heard of a wild sheep? No. They're dumb. They die if they don't have a shepherd. So Jesus, in these comforting, comforting words, is looking at us and looking at the people around him and looking at us knowing they're sheep. Their sheep. And here's the thing. He doesn't care how dumb we are. He loves us anyway. He comes to us as the good shepherd. See, sheep need total care. I mean total care. When we lived in Africa, Jeanette and I lived in a small village in Nigeria, and there were two types of people. There were lots of types of people, but in this case, there were two types of people. There were people who had goats, and there were people who had sheep. And the people who had goats were happy people, because you could let your goats out, and every once in a while, go round them up and do what you had to do with the goats. But if you had sheep, it was every minute of every day. You had to watch those sheep. You had to make sure they ate, because they're too dumb to know. You had to make sure they found water, because they can't find water. Jesus looks at us and says, "I am the good shepherd. You folks are sheep." So in the comforting words of Psalm 23, or in the comforting words of John 10, we get a clear picture of who we are. We are people in desperate need of a shepherd. So that leads us to point two, to who Jesus is. Jesus powerfully says, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. I am not the hired hand." You see, the hired hand has in the back of his or her mind, the owner can always get more sheep. They're not my sheep. I mean, if trouble really comes, he can always get more sheep, but I got one life. So look, I like sheep, but I'm running, and the sheep are on their own. But Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I'm not the hired hand. I know my sheep. These are my sheep. These are the ones the Father has given me. I will be here with these sheep. These sheep are mine." And so he says that when trouble comes, he doesn't run away. "I will lay down my life for the sheep," but we're going to get to that in a minute. So here's what he says. He says that, "I am not the hired hand." Jesus tells a parable in Luke chapter 15 about sheep. You may be familiar with it. We call it the parable of the lost sheep. And the parable is this. There's a man who has 100 sheep, and one of them gets lost. You know why? It's dumb. Okay? So it wanders off, and the master leaves the 99 sheep and goes after the one sheep. And when he finds the sheep, he doesn't punish the sheep. He doesn't yell at the sheep. He doesn't cook the sheep. He picks the sheep up. He puts it on its shoulders, and he walks back to his home with this sheep. And when he gets back, he doesn't complain to his neighbors, "I had to go after this dumb sheep." He says, "Let's party. Let's celebrate, because the sheep that I had, I lost, but now I found." That's the good shepherd. A shepherd who goes after sheep who are not smart enough to stay with the shepherd. I've been in Lansing, Michigan, two different times in my ministry. The first time I was an intern for 1 year. Then I went back to school. Then I went to Africa. Then I came back to Lansing as an associate pastor. But when I went there as an intern, we got there, and I don't know, I must have been 25, 24, something like that. Jeanette and I were newly married. We got there, they looked at me and said, "Okay, here's what you're going to do for part of your ministry. You are in charge of the little kids." Now imagine that for a minute, will you please? Everybody just stop for a second. Adults looked at me and said, "You're in charge of the little kids." You don't find that funny, huh? Because I laughed. I thought they were kidding. I'm studying to be a pastor. I've got 2 years of academics down, and I'm coming here to be a pastor. I'm in charge of little kids? I didn't have kids. I didn't know anything about kids. But I was in charge of little kids. So that summer, we did our vacation Bible school. I'm in charge of the little kids. I don't know anything about kids. Did I tell you that? I'm not musical. I can't really sing. So I thought it'd be a good idea to do a musical for our vacation Bible school. You know, come on. You're only there for a year. You got to take a shot, right? So we did a musical about the lost sheep. And here's the thing. It probably wasn't very good. But I can remember some of those songs. 30 years later, I can remember the main song of that. I can remember the tune. I can remember the words. Just as a punchline, the punchline to the thing was there was a sheep that was a black sheep. So he was the one who was always in trouble, and his name was Grimy. But the punchline of the musical was we're all a little grimy on the inside. So I'm up in front of our church with these little kids. Did I tell you this? I don't know anything about kids. I'm not musical and I can't sing, but we're doing a musical, all right? So here it goes. This is the song, folks. I'm going to do it. It goes like this. No matter how bad we are, the shepherd loves us. No matter how far we stray, still he carries us home. No matter how bad we are, the shepherd loves us. He loves us and he calls us his own. Oh, he loves us and he calls us his own. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I promised the band that would be the only time I ever sing. But here's the thing. Little kids came to understand, and it's kind of easy for little kids. They know they need someone to watch over them. They came to understand who their good shepherd was. But I want you to understand today that you have a good shepherd. So no matter how bad you are, no matter how far you have wandered, the good shepherd comes to get you. And when he comes and he finds me sitting in my shame and guilt, he does not shake his head. He does not get mad at me. He instead picks me up, puts me on his shoulders, and carries me home. When that shepherd comes to where you are in your fear, in your grief, in the losses you've had, he comes and not angrily drags you back. The good shepherd, because you are his sheep, picks you up and carries you home. You see, we have a good shepherd. And I want you to know that I can remember those songs. But it was obviously meaningful to that congregation too. Because when you come in my house and you look at the front, going up the stairs right by the front door, there is a photograph of a shepherd holding a sheep that my church gave me. Because we have a good shepherd. Jesus comes to where you're weak, where you're broken, where I'm hurting, where I'm afraid, and he holds us close to himself. So who are we? We're sheep. Who is he? He's a good shepherd. So why do we need him? Verse 10. There is a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There is a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you don't know John chapter 10, verse 10, you might want to highlight it in the Bible you're looking at right now. You might want to try to memorize it because it is a life philosophy, folks. There is a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and Jesus says, but I have come that they may have life. The reason we need this good shepherd is there truly is a thief, the evil one, who wants to take and steal and kill in your life. He wants to corrupt everything. He wants to take the things you enjoy most in life and turn them into something disgusting. There's nothing more than this thief would like than for your marriage to fall apart. There is nothing more that this thief would like than for Marty and I as pastors to fail. Because he comes and he steals from us the things we cherish most. He steals our relationships. He steals our innocence. He steals all those things. He comes and he kills our dreams and he kills our hopes and he kills our bodies. And he comes and destroys the stuff we want in life. He destroys them through all kinds of ways. And the ways aren't important. The important thing is there is a thief. And he wants nothing more than free rein at the sheep. And so we need a good shepherd. One who will stand in the way. One who will guard and keep us when the thief comes. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 53 with me. We're going to go to just two more places today, and I'm sorry that we're jumping around, but I'm on page 600 in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53. This is the chapter in the Bible that's called the chapter about the suffering servant. It's an Old Testament picture of who Jesus is and why he's coming and when and how, what he'll do when he gets here. We're not going to read the whole thing, but in verse 6 of chapter 53, page 600, here's what he says. Isaiah says this, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way." Just pause right there. That is Isaiah's kind and gentle way of saying we are dumb. We all have wandered away. We all have thought our way was best. And we've all gotten lost. But here's what he says, "And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." We need this good shepherd because there is a thief. Now, I want to, at the risk of offending anybody in this room, I don't want to do that, but there we go. Regardless of what much of evangelical Christianity is telling us today, what the popular teachers in church are saying to us today, the goal of a shepherd is never to train the sheep. The shepherd, Jesus, does not come into your life and say, if I could just get them started, get them going in the right direction, then maybe they'll become self-sufficient. You see, when I sing and tell a story about little kids in Lansing, Michigan, who come to know they have a good shepherd, that makes sense to us. But we begin to be drawn in by the thief to believing that, yes, we needed a shepherd then, but now, at this time, in this part of our lives, we ought to be able to do this on our own. The shepherd's job, Jesus does not come to be your good shepherd to give you six things to do to be. The shepherd does not come to train you. The shepherd comes to lay down his life for you. There is not a moment in your life, and thankfully there is not a moment in my life, when I will not need and have a good shepherd. I will never be trained out of that. You know why? I'm a sheep and I'm dumb. So that's why we need him. That's who we are. That's who he is. That's why we need him. Let's talk about what he does. Here's what he says. So clearly, this is what he says. I am the good shepherd, verse 11. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He comes back to it again in verse 15. He says, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus comes not to train up, not to improve. He comes to lay down his life for the sheep. And there's an important truth. There are so many important truths in this text that I actually, as I got into it, I thought, oh, well, I had to talk about that, and I had to talk about that, and I had to talk about that. I can't talk about all of them. Let me touch on one of these important truths, though. You'll notice Jesus says, I come to lay down my life for the sheep. And later on, he goes and says, no one takes it from me. And here's why this is unbelievably important. Here's why this is such a powerful point of theology. The enemy does not and cannot overpower Jesus. He does not and cannot overpower Jesus. He can do his worst. He can do what he wants. He can try his hardest. But Jesus is more powerful than the enemy. And the enemy cannot kill the good shepherd. So when Jesus goes to the cross, it's not because his disciples only betrayed him. It's not because Pilate, because Jesus actually has this conversation with Pilate, you'd have no authority if it wasn't given to you. It's not because the devil is so strong that on that Friday he was able to overcome the good shepherd. No, it is because Jesus chooses to give his life for his sheep. Because here's why. The enemy has all the evidence he needs to kill me. He has it all. He's got a list. He whispers it to me at night when I'm lying there wide awake. He comes and he says to me, Christians don't think that way. Christians don't act that way. Are you really a believer of Jesus? He knows he can kill me. And I would deserve it. But into that steps the good shepherd. The end of verse 6 of chapter 53. I know we're jumping around. Sorry, you don't have to go there. Here's what it says. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All the evidence that the enemy has of my failures, my sin, my shame, my guilt, my death, all of it is laid on this good shepherd, Jesus. But make no mistake, the good shepherd cannot be defeated. He voluntarily gives his life for his sheep. That's our good shepherd. He's not overpowered. He is all-loving. And we are his sheep. I'm going to close with one last section of scripture. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but I'm going back to the book of Isaiah chapter 40. For those of you who are newer to our church, the facilities you see here were built as a Christian school. And so you may have noticed the large cages of rocks scattered around our campus. Those actually have an architectural term. They're called gabions. I didn't make that up, but it is true. And you'll notice that when we had enough money, each of the gabions has a piece of granite etched with scripture on it. under the canopies, it's the death and resurrection of Jesus. Outside the gym, it says, Lord, we have heard of your fame. Make your fame known in our day. But in that low building right across there, which was the first school that we built, the gabion out front says something different. It quotes Isaiah chapter 40. Here's what Isaiah chapter 40 says. It says, those of us, and let me just read it. Let me read it. Starting with verse 9, page 586, starting with verse 9. It says, you who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. In other words, make sure everybody can hear you. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. So let me stop there. This is the picture we get. We get a picture of the people of Israel waiting for this powerful God who rules the world with his right arm, who comes with judgment and power and might, who comes with everything he needs to defeat the enemy. He's powerful. But this is the verse that's on the front of that building. The next one, verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. You see, our good shepherd cannot be defeated, but our good shepherd is gentle enough to love dumb sheep. He is gentle enough to carry us home. He is our good shepherd. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for Jesus, for the power he brings, for the gentleness he brings, for the love that he gives to his sheep. Father, when we stray, and we will, when we wander, and we will, when we are in shame and guilt and fear and doubt and grief, send that good shepherd into those places, into those moments to carry us home. Father, thank you for Jesus. We pray it all in his name. Amen.